Hit a home run and get pre-approved for your next refinance or home purchase at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
It is a Thursday morning and spring training. Cardinals camp rolls on, coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. In 2 days, you'll be seeing the Cardinals in game action as they'll take on the New York Mets at Roger Dean Stadium, and you can see that game on Fox Sports Midwest. 15 games will be televised this spring by Fox Sports Midwest. And Derek, we got some news concerning at least the opening spring day starter, and that'll be Jack Flaherty going on Saturday.
Yeah, unusual that the guy who's going to be the opening day starter, I think it's, they haven't made that official, but it's obvious, and he's earned it there in Cincinnati. He's also going to be the Grapefruit League starter, but it speaks at something that you and I have hit on, and I'm sure we'll talk a lot about, but the condensed schedule of spring. You know, they got 30 games packed into 31 days and not a whole lot of time. They got a lot of starters to sort through, and away they go right away with Flaherty, you know, in the Grapefruit League opener. So, you know, usually you get that. Usually that start goes to a younger guy. Usually you might even go a full turn of games before you see a major league starter. That's not going to happen this time around. They're gonna have a lot of those guys right off the hop, and every pitcher except for anybody who's held back due to injury, like Michaelis, is expected to appear in the first 5 days of games.
I talked to Jack Flaherty about what can you try to do to duplicate your second half, and he said, "You know what? It's just about being consistent." And you know, it's cliche, but man, it's so true. He's got a routine. He sticks to it. He works extremely hard between starts. So it'd be something if he could come close to duplicating what he did last year.
Yeah, I think there's a mentality aspect. I don't know if he touched on that with you. But
with Kobe Bryant, yeah.
Yeah, there's certainly an aspect there of how he, you know, thought about pitching from the midpoint on last season, you know, and sort of what he did. You know, not the notion that his pitches are going to get misses. He doesn't have to make them or place them or guide them. He can throw them and throw them aggressively and trust in them. And you saw the strikeout spike. You saw his use of his slider become far more aggressive. You know, even a little bit, some velocity more there, less of a guy who's trying to place pitches and more of a guy who's trying to, you know, challenge with pitches. And I think, you know, that mentality, you know, he's traced it back to obviously the death of his friend Tyler Skaggs and how he reacted to that and how that gave him, you know, kind of focus and motivation there in that second half to pitch for his friend. You know, and you know what that did was maybe help crystallize a mentality that he needs to pitch, something that Bob Gibson's talked to him about, something certainly that Chris Carpenter's talked about, and something that Chris Carpenter had to learn as well. And I think if he carries that over, is he going to go have an 091 in the first half? Is he going to go have a 091 for the entire season? Probably not. But, you know, he's going to go out there, and if he continues that, he'll be in the conversation for the Cy Young and belong there.
It's really
for
interesting.
A long time.
Yeah, you're right. He's so young, and we forget that. And he's already got 2 years under his belt in the big leagues. You mentioned the name of Chris Carpenter, and Ozzie Smith is down here. You got Willie McGee on the staff. Jason yep. Isringhausen has been influential with many of these guys. But as yep. it pertains to Carp and Izzy, man, those pitchers on this team and for the last few years, they give them a ton of credit for how to return back from injury. What do you do between starts? The mentality that you're talking about. Those guys deserve a lot of credit, don't they?
Absolutely. And I think Isringhausen probably gets overshadowed a little bit.
Agreed,
so much
yeah.
of the work that he does is on the minor league level. You know, you see Chris Carpenter around the major league team and, you know, obviously his connection with Wainwright and, you know, his just presence here and the invitation that the front office has made for him to be a part of Schilt's staff, even as an occasional assistant, I guess, or special assistant, as they call it. But what Izzy's done in the minors and some of the assignments that he's had where, you know, it's identify relievers, identify future closers, go out there and help nurture that and go out there and help find it, has been very valuable. You're going to see the fruits of that even this year. Guys who he has talked to, guys who might be starting in the minors but will be relievers in the majors are better, are more prepared for that role because of conversations they've had with Izzy, because of tips that Isringhausen has given them.
One that comes to mind
much
is
farther, Hicks.
Well, Hicks, and how about Jake Woodford? That's another big one yeah. right there.
Absolutely, Jake. That's a great one. And one of the reasons why the Cardinals have been high on Jake Woodford is because Isringhausen
that's
has
right.
been high on him. You know, Mosaic trusts Isringhausen's view. He does lean on these guys quite a bit for what they learn about the pitcher, what they see off the field as well as on the field. You know, they can get all the data from TrackMan, they can get all the scouting reports from somebody in game, but these coaches and these former players who have who have performed at the highest level and have Mozeliak's trust, you know, he turns to them for insight as to guys. And you know, you can see like protecting a Woodford on the roster as evidence of that.
Interesting that you have these already, you know, the pitchers are ahead of the hitters, and then it gets, gets caught up by the end of it. But we have had some interesting matchups. Have there been any live BP matchups that you have caught basically your attention along the way here?
Libertor versus Gorman was fun, right? Yeah. Two buddies, two boyhood friends, a lot different than the last time they faced each other when they were in high school. And now here they are pros, one throwing harder, one hitting harder, both of them much bigger. That's interesting. I thought, Whitley throw into some of the veterans was interesting. Adam Wainwright versus Matt Carpenter, where Matt Carpenter is clearly working on things and Wainwright is able to use that against him every so often. Things like that. Carlos Martinez, Alex Reyes both got through their outings well. Reyes was very impressive according to people who watched him. I did not get a chance to do that. Did see Kim. Watched Kim, movement on his pitches, usual stuff from a lefty, sharpness, the crossfire fastball, as they call it. He was describing how he threw slider a lot in Korea, uncorked a curveball here, thinks it might be something that he could use a little bit more. As of right now, it's a show pitch, but maybe he steals a strike every so often. At least he gives the hitter something else they have to think about.
I really wonder about the inside track for that fifth starter spot. I know that you do too. You're covering this team day in and day out. That's a fascinating battle as camp moves forward.
It is, especially because if they think of it as a short-term role, it really widens the options. I mean, you're talking about Reyes being involved, Helsley being involved, Cabrera being involved. This team has really searched for a lefty, Dan. It's been a long time since they had a lefty regularly in the rotation. I mean, I guess you'd have to go back to maybe August 2018. I don't know, that's not all that long ago, but that was
Austin Gomber.
With Gomber was that was really the only time since 2016 that they had a lefty regularly making starts for them. This division is, let's say, you could have an advantage with a lefty in this division. The Cubs have shown that. The Cardinals have shown that when Comber was pitching really well. There's something to like about that. There's also something to like about having a different look. If you have guys like last year, Waka, Wainwright, Michaelis throwing, eventually you're going to go into a series and you're throwing tall right-handed pitchers with similar stuff, right?
Sure.
Throwing a little wrench in there from the left side can get to, help things out a little bit, can change the eye angle of hitters, change the preparation of hitters. One guy does not bleed into the next. It's a different look entirely.
Hey, Blues fans, join the party all season long at Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill and one of their 11 area locations. Great food and drink specials available during every Blues game. It is your home for Blues hockey. Remember, if the Blues score 5 any game this season, you get Hot Shots legendary tacos for $1 each the next day. Find a Hot Shots near you at hotshotsnet.com. Proud partner of the St. Louis Blues.
Lou Hughes, we are St. Louis.
Dan McLaughlin here to tell you about the hometown automotive family I trust the most, the Lou Hughes Automotive Network, and you know they are St. Louis. Lou Hughes has been a part of St. Louis for over 7 decades. They're proud to support St. Louis and the surrounding areas with cars, youth, sports, and charitable efforts. 14 brands, 10 locations. Just visit Fuse.com to start shopping today.
Lou Fuse, we are St. Louis.
It's all aboard the newest restaurant in St. Louis, the Train Shed at Union Station. Perfect place before and after Blues and Cardinal games. Historic St. Louis Union Station is downtown's newest dining destination with Train Shed's creative pub and the Soda Fountain's modern diner. The Train Shed at Union Station.
We'll wrap it up with this. I'm really intrigued by the spring of Austin Gomber and Daniel Ponce de Leon. Especially Gomber, and in talking with Daniel, he went to have his body tested and various things, and he feels much more compact in his delivery. I love seeing these things come to fruition because these are truly talented guys.
Yeah, I think Daniel Ponce de Leon is fascinating. One of the very few guys in camp that you could go, you know, say he has this massive spectrum of outcomes, right? Would not shock me at all if he's in the Cardinals bullpen. Would not shock me at all if he's the fifth starter. Would not shock me at all if he's the opening day starter for Memphis, the de facto sixth starter for the Cardinals. Would not shock me at all if he's traded to some team that wants him in their rotation. Just any outcome is possible.
Yes.
It does seem for him.
And pretty much the same for Gomber, too.
A little bit less.
Just because he's lefty and
trade
option. Right, yeah. Right. But two guys to follow, no doubt, this spring. Hey, Derek.
Absolutely. Like us, Dan. We're two guys to follow this spring. That was going to be the name of this podcast.
Well.
But you thought wiser of it and gave it a better name. But that was my suggestion. Two guys to follow in spring.
Well, I would say this. We do crank out a lot of info.
We do. I don't know if we're young enough to call ourselves prospects anymore.
Washed up vets.
Okay.
At least I am.
I think we're two guys to watch.
You're still in the prime, man.
I'm still in the prime. No, you're right.
I'm in the downside, baby.
My best riding days are ahead of me.
That's
knows.
Right. And you came in.
That's what they tell me.
Well, your fingers came in the best shape they've ever been in their life this spring.
That is correct. That is correct.
Derek, yep. We'll catch up on Friday and wrap up the week. Thanks.
Yeah, unless I strain a little, finger.
Don't do that.
That would be good.
Don't do that.
No. I'll be okay.